Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ, and wishing you a happy and blessed Christmas holiday season. Well, we're live. We're on the air and online, and we'd love to hear from you right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, and we're talking this month about the subject of joy. And if you have something, an experience of joy, and something the Lord has done in your life, we would love to hear from you right now. We'd like you to be a part of the broadcast at 844-322-2742. In fact, whatever subject you'd like to pose, we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we asked listeners to call us and let us know the reasons that they have for experiencing joy in Christ Jesus, and we extend that offer again today. If you would like to be a part of today's broadcast, we invite you to call and give us the reason you're joyful during this particular Christmas season. And as we started off the month, we see in the book of Luke, in the Christmas story, as the angel announces to the shepherds, he said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." The fact that Jesus was born, the fact that he died, was buried, and was raised again, that message, that news, that proclamation is cause for great joy in human hearts that receive it. And there was a group that Paul encountered in Thessalonica, and he delivered this good news of Jesus Christ. And here's what he wrote about this particular group. It's 1 Thessalonians 1, and I'm going to read 4 through 6. "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." They welcome this message of Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, with joy because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think that tells us something, guys, that when the message is received humbly, when we recognize our true need for Jesus, there's no greater response to it than joy in the heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings. And I just love this passage. And so, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are not experiencing the joy of their salvation. They had it one time. They were like these Thessalonians. They received the message, and joy entered their heart. And somewhere along the way, they lost it. And so they're asking the question, how do we get this joy back? How do we experience the joy that we once knew when we first believed? And how do we do that? How do we get that joy back? That's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you think about joy, and really it's a byproduct. It's the part of it is emotional, part of it is mental, but it's definitely a byproduct. And so I think if you say, well, if the output is going to be joy in our lives, then what is the input? And now we're back to this message. In other words, what message is going to produce joy? So let's take it one at a time here. I mean, forgiveness. If I'm only forgiven for some sins, but not all sins, if I can suddenly take God by surprise and out-sin the grace of God, and the blood of Jesus runs out, or I have to tally up all my sins every day, then that might bring a measure of joy, but not an overflow of real godly joy. I mean, there's no excitement in that. But the true message of once for all forgiveness, that I'm completely forgiven, that I'm off the hook, that God is not keeping score, that brings great joy. Then you get to my freedom. Well, if I'm just free from the law for salvation, but now I'm supposed to get busy keeping the law on a daily basis and got to give 10% and got to keep the Sabbath and got to, you know, do this and got to do that to make God like me, there's not going to be any joy in that. I'm earning God's approval instead of celebrating what Jesus did. So the truth is going to set me free there. I'm free all the way from start to finish. I'm not under the law. I'm trusting Jesus. You know, lastly, I would say, Bob, if my identity is that I'm an old creation and a new creation, if I've got two hearts, a dirty heart, a wicked heart, and then also a righteous new heart, if I think I'm two people, there's not going to be a lot of joy in that. So as we start proclaiming the excellencies of what is the true message of the gospel, the joy starts to increase. The joy starts to overflow. It's a natural byproduct of the fact that, you know, we are a new creation. We've got a new heart. We've got Christ living in us. We got a lot to celebrate. So, you know, guys, I think the lack of joy in the Christian world comes from a lack of truth. And as we proclaim the truth about the gospel, joy is going to just be the natural byproduct of
that.
Well,
it is the fruit of the Spirit, and that's what Paul was talking about here, that it came with by the Holy Spirit. It was something that he brought, that he imparted to the human heart when they received the message for what it was, not what they had dreamed it to be or any of those sort of things, but actually receiving the message concerning Christ. And I love how he couched it. He said, in the midst of your severe suffering. So they were going through all kinds of struggles, yet in the midst of this, in the midst of those, they experienced a joy. And the same is true for us, isn't it? When our eyes get focused on Jesus and the truth of what he's accomplished, the totality of what he's accomplished for us, and what that means to us as believers, then regardless of what we're going through, we can experience the joy of the Lord. And that is the good news of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel that trumps anything and everything that we go through in life.
Absolutely. Well, there's a lot of joy to be had along the pathway of the basic gospel journey, which, of course, begins and ends with Jesus. And in between is the life-changing truth of the new covenant, that we're no longer bound by rules and regulations, no longer living under a cloud of fear and guilt, because in Christ we begin a new life, a life of freedom, faith, and rest. A CD called The Basic Gospel Journey is available by Bob Christopher right now, that we encourage you to walk with Jesus in the adventure of a lifetime filled with the riches of his grace and the fullness of his life. The Basic Gospel Journey is our gift to you this month to say thanks for your donation to reach out to others with the good news of the gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and we thank you in advance for your support of The Basic Gospel. Open lines 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Guys, something I know that you'll really enjoy, Andrew, you and Richard and Bob, got an email overnight from Max, and he says, I'm 70 years old and retired, but I've never felt more alive and more useful than I do at this time in my life because, like Paul, I've learned the secret of contentment. I currently teach 3 home Bible studies with a total of 8 people, a narcoleptic one-on-one, a highway patrolman one-on-one, and a group of 6 college students. In addition, I have the privilege of teaching an adult class at our local church. I constantly use basic gospel resources because they explain the truth of the Bible so very clearly. And Max ends by saying, now tell me, why would I not be joyful?
That's exactly right. Well, Max is a wonderful friend of the ministry. We toured Israel together a number of years ago and just had a great time. And every time I get a chance to talk to Max or visit with him out in the Phoenix area, he is just talking about the joy of reaching out to others and sharing this good news of Jesus Christ. He is a man that has been transformed, has been changed by the grace of God, and he just takes great joy in being able to connect others to the love that he knows in Jesus Christ. So, Max, thanks for those encouraging words. We certainly appreciate you and how God is using you right where you are in such a powerful and impactful way in sharing this good news. So thanks, Max. We sure appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad. Welcome.
Oh, wonderful day. That's all I can say. I'm so blessed to be able to devote, I should, if I could use that word, and that may be too strong for me, full-time to Basic Gospel and Andrew Farley Ministries, and just get overwhelmed, flooded over, washed over with the Word of God. And as I do every month when the subject comes up, I look at all the scriptures in the New Testament pertaining to the subject matter. And I just so happened to be looking through, I looked through the Gospels, and then I got into the book of Acts. And the last verse of Acts 13:52 said that the disciples were continuously filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Now, I take all the word that you guys give me by the Holy Spirit, and, you know, that outcome, that product that you were talking about in your monologue, man, it's so apparent in my life. And when you really think and come to understand the message of the gospel and the new covenant and resurrection life, and that really absorbs you, it has to if you're in union with Jesus. Brothers, I can't explain how much joy and peace that I really do experience in my life, quite a bit of the 24/7 cycle.
Yeah, Brad, that's great to hear from you, my friend. What's interesting about this passage that you brought up for us is that they're experiencing joy, but the previous verses show that they just got kicked out. I mean, they were persecuted.
Yeah, they were in persecution. Yeah.
Yeah, they were persecuted. They were expelled from the region. The Jewish leaders are upset with them, and yet they have the wherewithal, they have the composure to get their eyes fixed once again right there on Jesus, and not let the rejection define who they are, not let the persecution define who they are, not let public opinion overwhelm them. And so what a great passage about joy in the midst of rejection and in the midst of arguments and factions and divisions and misunderstandings and hurt feelings and all the things that we feel emotionally when people reject us. They were able to really set their minds on the truth of, you know what, I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm okay. And so they experienced the love of God and the joy of God. And what an encouragement to us as we face opposition and persecution and difficulty. I mean, I'm so glad you brought this passage to us today, because it's such a powerful piece of scripture and pointing us back to Jesus no matter what. Jesus no matter what.
That's true. And thank you so very much for being there, you, Andrew, and Bob, and Richard, and Bob, and the entire staff of both ministries. I'm just elated, and you guys help me recognize and understand my identity and who I am in Jesus, and actually where my eyes belong. And I'm just so grateful, and I'm thankful, and I love you guys, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brad. We sure appreciate
it. Thanks. Yes, indeed.
It's kind of interesting, you know, throughout the New Testament, you often see joy connected to suffering.
Yeah.
You know, count it all joy. And James, Peter said the same thing. Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 5. And the reality is that we can experience joy when our eyes are on the Lord, regardless of the circumstances that we're in. And I know this time of the year, especially this time of the year, when people are joyful and when we see all the happiness around us, oftentimes we start focusing on our pitiful conditions, you know, what we're going through, the fact that we're lonely, the fact that, things aren't working out the way that we want them to at work or family matters. We start looking at those things and we lose joy. We lose sight of the source of joy. And I just pray, like we mentioned yesterday, that as believers in Christ and for people out there in basic gospel radio land who are listening to this, will recognize that there are people who are going to be down during this season, that they're going to be looking at their circumstances, and just be sensitive to that and help refocus their attention on the Lord Jesus, the one who brings joy, the one who is the cause of joy in human hearts, regardless of what's going on around us. So I think that's just a powerful reminder to us. There's a lot of suffering out there in the world. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of anguish. There's a lot of anxieties. There's all sorts of things that people are going through. Well, we have the message. we know the one that can put joy in their hearts. And so let's lift him up. Let's lift up Jesus, just like the angel did to the shepherds, just like Paul did with the Thessalonians. Let's lift up the name of Jesus and see the joy that he causes in people's hearts as they receive him for who he is.
Well, at Basic Gospel, we do indeed have a new resource by Bob Christopher called The Basic Gospel Journey. Of course, it describes the journey of a lifetime, and we'd like to send you a copy when you make a gift to help share the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus with others. So please go online to basicgospel.net and make your most generous gift today if you can. Just click donate to make your donation and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. We've got time on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition. We're discussing the issue of joy, and we'd love to hear your experience. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question that I think might be very, very appropriate for this time of year. This is from Cynthia. She says, could you please explain the difference between feasting and gluttony, both of which are talked about in the Bible? Is the difference a matter of the heart as opposed to actual behavior? I'd like to hear your thoughts on this topic.
I know it when I do it.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's always feasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, gluttony is one of those, big sins from... we read about in the Old Testament and that sort of thing. And it's just a part of that, trying to gratify the flesh to excess.
Yes.
And that's what we see. The Roman Empire, their motto was everything to excess, basically. And they would have, they would have these big theaters, these amphitheaters set up, and folks would go in and they would revel and all of this sort of stuff. And they would build what they would call these vomitoriums. So folks would eat and eat and eat and then go into these and make room for more and come back. And that was their lifestyle and everything to excess. You call that gluttony. And what are they trying to do to just gratify the fullest extent of those fleshly desires? And we see that in a lot of areas, don't we?
Yeah. It's really about control, right? I mean, Paul talks about food, but he presents food in an atmosphere of freedom. I mean, it's not about, as Jesus said, it's not about what you eat or drink. As Paul said, there's people that teach against certain foods. As Peter had a dream about, every food is clean. There's nothing unclean. So first, let's recognize our liberty and our freedom with food. Even as you look up the word glutton in the Old Testament and New Testament, I mean, you're hard pressed to find this word glutton or gluttony used. I mean, it comes up in Titus about the Cretans. People were spreading rumors that Cretans, that is, people from the island of Crete, are always gluttons. But, basically they accused Jesus of that. Behold, the Son of Man, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors. So there's a few mentions in the New Testament of this, but, I think the bottom line is we don't need to be petrified about what we are eating and worried about, is this sin, is this sin, is this sin? I think the key is keep your eyes fixed on your Savior, enjoy the relationship, know that food is not the way to contentment, food is not the source of fulfillment in life, but a good meal, great, give thanks to God for it, but don't let food control you, just like alcohol, drinking wine. Some person drinks a glass of wine and they're not controlled by it and it's not an issue, and other people drink in excess and drink too much and they're controlled by it and it becomes a source of fulfillment or contentment or trying to find peace the best they can. We can abuse anything. And I think that, when we look at food, it's no different. We could abuse it. And we do need to watch out for that and just trust Christ with that. But recognize the freedom that we have with food. These holidays, this holiday season, I would say, eat and thank God for the food and thank God for the family and the relationships and the fellowship. And if food becomes something that is a controlling factor in our lives, the God of the universe is big enough to let us know about that.
Yeah. Yes, he is. And I love that, that take on it, Andrew, the fact that we are free in Christ And, you know, most people in America and around the world would say freedom is just about being able to choose whatever you want. And that gets right back to the issue of control, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we don't want to be controlled by anything other than the love of God and the Holy Spirit. And as we're controlled by Him, then we can just enjoy our freedom to the full. And
absolutely.
That brings us right back to joy. That's when we can truly experience the joy of the Lord.
Well, we appreciate hearing from you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like us to discuss on the air, well, you can get that question or particular topic to us either of a couple of good ways. You can call our regular number, 844-322-2742, the number that you can get to the live broadcast on. That's available 24 hours a day, as a matter of fact, and you can record your question. The other way is that you can go to our website, basicgospel.net/ask. And there you can leave us a text message with your question, or you can voice it in your own voice, and we'll be glad to address it soon on Basic Gospel. Again, that's basicgospel.net/ask.
Well, let's go to William out in Livermore, California. Hi, William.
Oh, hi, guys. In regard to this issue of drinking and gluttony, if those were sins, wouldn't that invalidate Christianity since they called Jesus a drunkard and a glutton?
Yeah, I was just quoting that out of Luke chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 11, where they accuse him of that. You know, I mean, they accused Jesus of a lot of things. They accused him of being a drunkard. They accused him of being a glutton. That doesn't mean that being a drunkard is okay or that being a glutton is okay. But I think that, you know, the logic here, the biblical logic, is that if I'm in Christ, then nothing that goes into my mouth, no food or drink can defile me. It would only be my heart that could defile me. But wait a minute, God's already taken care of my heart. He's given me a new heart, so I'm not defiled. And that's why we have the freedom to eat and to drink and to use godly wisdom and use discretion that the Holy Spirit gives us. You know, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So I think we can trust Him with our eating and our drinking.
Right, yeah, and also, Bob was talking about Romans 12:1 last week, you know, offering ourselves as living sacrifices.
Yeah.
And I love that verse. It's one of my favorite verses because, in my opinion, it answers clearly the question, how are we to live the Christian life? You know, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice is merely giving over our physical body to the Spirit of God living in us to will and act according to His good purpose.
Yep. That's great. That's great.
Yes, it sure is. I think it's one of our, for all of us, Romans 12:1-2 is one of our favorite passages, and it really does spell out what this Christian life is supposed to look like. Well, William, as always, thanks for joining us today on Basic Gospel. We always appreciate your questions and your keen insights into this life of faith in Jesus Christ. So thank you, my friend. And so today was all about joy, and we're going to be spending the rest of this month talking about joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's what comes to the human hearts when grace hits us, when grace takes us and makes us alive together with Christ and gives to us total forgiveness of sins and a new identity in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you can experience that joy this season through faith in the good news of Jesus.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob, Andrew, and Richard. Well, the Basic Gospel journey, as you might have heard, begins and ends with Jesus. And in between is the life-changing truth of the new covenant, that we are no longer bound by rules and regulations, nor are we to live under a cloud of fear and guilt. In Christ, we begin a new life, a life of freedom, faith, and rest. The Basic Gospel journey is a CD message by Bob Christopher that will encourage your walk with Jesus in the adventure of a lifetime filled with the riches of His grace and the fullness of His life. The Basic Gospel Journey is our gift to you this month to say thank you for your donation to reach out to others with this good news of the gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your most generous gift right now and receive your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and we want to thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel. Remember, friends, that you can pose a question overnight by calling our regular number, 844-322-2742, or by visiting the website, basicgospel.net/ask. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.